Rochester. We love the city. I have a special tie. He's developing new ties. We think it's one of the great spots, and we'd be delighted to answer any questions you all have.
Vice President, yes, sir. President supports every part of the Republican platform.
Now, I've said, we've discussed this now for quite a while, that this was a platform, and Senator Doar was a member of the platform committee, which was hammered out by the delegates with both of the two candidates, each putting forward their own ideas through their own representatives, and it resulted in compromises to get a platform. Therefore, obviously, it doesn't reflect the totality of the positions of either of the two candidates. But it does reflect a broad consensus regarding our concept as a party. But individual items, no.
Mr. Vice President, the NBC News poll shows that New York State is fairly firmly in the Carter camp, at least at this point.
4 points.
Well, that's different. They're different poll. Upstate New York looks much closer. How much of a role are you going to play personally in the campaign, and will that be able to carry the state?
Well, this is, if this is an illustration, and you've got a pretty good idea, here we are, Bob, myself, and Malcolm Wilson. He and I got started here quite a few years ago, and of course, your man, your own hometown boy, Dick Rosenbaum, has been one of the key figures in this. And I tell you, we're all out and all the way, and right from now to election day, and he's going to win, and he's going to carry New York. They are, President Ford and Senator Doar.
You talked about the qualities
that Senator Doar
brings
great
to the Ford ticket. What does he bring that you wouldn't have brought?
Well, he's taller than I am. Right. And he's younger than I am. And he's handsomer than I am. And he's a very good friend of mine. I think he's a terrific vice president. I think the president's lucky to get him. And he's had a broader experience. He was in local government. He was in state government. He's been in national government. He's a war hero. You know, you name it. This guy's got everything.
Senator
Man Dole, of the future.
Senator Doar, yes. Given the experience of all the men who have served as vice president, what makes you think that your election is going to change those 200 years of experience generally regarded as less than rewarding?
Question, sir.
Oh, the question is whether or not my experience if elected would be less than rewarding. I think that's sort of a summary of it. That's not the answer. That's the question. But I don't know. I haven't talked to the vice president on my right here, but I think he's certainly performed. I know he's performed a great service for America. And I would guess that if you asked Vice President Rockefeller and my good friend Senator Humphrey and others who've served in that role, even though at times there may be less than optimum opportunities, there may be some frustration. I think most Americans would look upon it, and these two men would look upon it, as a great honor and an obligation to serve your country and a great opportunity. Now, beyond that, it's pretty hard to predict what may happen once we're elected, but I'm going to draw on the experience of my friend on my right and others who understand the office fully.
I just summarize it by saying, don't knock him, you might need him.
Senator Doar, several local congressmen have said that the Northeast, and in particular New York State, is not getting their fair share of the tax dollars. What can a Ford Doar ticket commit to the Northeast, and in particular New York State?
Well, I don't have any specifics. I might let the Vice President. But as far as revenue sharing, which is an area that I strongly support, one of the original co-sponsors of this legislation, I might add legislation Mr. Carter says he doesn't like, and if we have it at all, we ought to bypass the states. Now, that may not be the position of some of these areas you're talking about, but that's in essence, and that bill was passed by the Senate. It's strongly supported by President Ford and by this administration.
I can just say that when I took office, New York State was getting back 5 cents on the dollar. In the 8 Republican years, New York State has quadrupled that in the amount of money it's getting back. The Republican administrations, the last two, have done more for this state than all of the other administrations put together.
Senator, would you say that you and the Vice President now pretty much agree that the President disagrees with the question?
No, I would only say that unity doesn't necessarily mean unanimity.
Very good.
What do you mean?
I mean what I said. Now, you can figure out the details.
Supposed to run on the platform.
We are.
On all parts of the platform.
Listen, I think you're making too much out of this platform stuff. You know the history of platforms. Some of you are old enough to remember President Roosevelt and what he was going to do. That platform said they were going to get a balanced budget. We never went into a period of as much spending of money in the history of this country. So let's keep it in perspective. No, but I'm just saying that don't overemphasize the platform. I've said very frankly exactly what the situation was. It was threshed out by the delegates representing two points of view. They nominated Ford, and he's going to be our next president.
I'd just like to know if the two of you agree.
Of course we agree. That's why we're standing here together. Just a question of how we express it.
You folks have been criticizing the Democratic platform.
We should.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the vice president is saying don't put too much stock in platforms.
Well, I don't see how they can, because I've told you that the position, for instance, on atomic power was they're against atomic power except when it's needed to produce electricity. Now, that's got to be one of the most beautiful positions I've ever heard of. You've got all the people who are against atomic power with you because you're against it. All those who need electricity and want to use it, they're with you too because you're going to use it. Now, would you rather have a platform like that or not? That's a question.
Vice President, did you talk with the President about that platform, since the convention?
Yes, I did.
And what did he say?
Just exactly what I told you. I told him exactly what I'd said, and this is the position.
Did you tell him that you were going to mention this on the road, that he didn't?
Which other road? I told him I had said that. I said it before in Vermont, campaigning with a colleague of the senator's.
Bob Stafford,
great guy. He was the governor. Of course I did. I don't think there ever been a president and a vice president been closer than President Ford and myself, with total openness and total freedom.
Well, why not? No, we're facing a welfare crisis here in Monroe County. The county legislature is going to have to borrow something like $2 million. If Ford is reelected, what's he going to do to help counties like Monroe County that can't afford to pay the welfare debts?
Listen, we've dealt with this welfare problem for a long time. You know it's got to be reorganized. We all know it's got to be reorganized. Now, there are different ways of doing it. And the president suggested some. I've suggested some. I happen to believe that the federal government ought to take the whole thing over. You ought to consolidate all welfare payments of all kinds, different services, and put them into one service and make the cash. Now, that happens to be my position. It ought to be a national standard with variations for different costs of living in different areas of the country. Now, that happens to be my position. I've said it doesn't happen to be the president's position, but it's something that's got to be dealt with. And this is a democracy, and you don't dictate something. You just have to work it out. And when you've got problems like you have, they've got to be considered in Washington. And revenue sharing, you can use that money to help you.
Senator Dole, what's your welfare, Senator Dole?
Well, you know, we can have a debate here, but I don't believe in the federalizing welfare system.
That's what's the strength of our party.
And we have different views, and we encompass those views. We try to work them out as we did in our platform, and I think the platform speaks for itself. We can disagree on the platform, but the president is the nominee of our party. It's his platform. It's my platform. And the same is true with welfare. But I think, we've tried welfare reform once in a Republican administration not many years ago, and it went nowhere in the Congress. So we've tried to look at it, take the tough look, the hard look. Everyone talks about reform, but I don't see much action in the Congress. And the same with food stamp reform. I've worked on that program, which we're talking about the same people with Senator McGovern. Now, we thought we had a good welfare reform program, but others disagreed, some Republicans and some Democrats. But the point is that we're making the effort. We understand that there's a great deal of administrative cost that could be reduced and administrative error. And whether it's in welfare or SSI or whatever, we have problems. And I see now Mr. Carter is saying that we're responsible for the fraud and abuse of Medicare and Medicaid. Now, he knows that's not the case. In fact, Georgia has one of the worst records when we get down to abuse and cost and error rate. He ought to talk about that. And this was true when he was governor.
Senator Dole, have you talked to President Ford about changing secretaries of state if you win this November?
No.
Senator Dole, Senator
Dole? I can speak on that. He said he wants him there as long as he's there.
Senator Dole?
Yes, sir. It's the greatest Secretary of State we've ever had. Yes, sir. Excuse me, Senator Dole.
Senator, some pundits have characterized this ticket as President Ford traveling the high road and you with an ability for combative debate traveling the low road. Would you care to recharacterize that?
Well, I don't know who makes these characterizations. You know, they come from somebody out there. We don't know who it is. They tag you somewhere, and then you run around if you want to play their game trying to disprove it the rest of the campaign. I've got a great deal of work to do to get President Ford, help President Ford be elected or reelected, because he was elected by the Congress, so reelected is really the proper word. I think our campaign will continue on a very high road. We're concerned about the future of America. Now, while some would characterize a candidate in some way, I think we have to look at his performance. That certainly hasn't been our performance. We're going to carry the fight to Mr. Carter and to Mr. Mondale, but not on a personal basis. There are enough issues out there to last us until November 2nd. And so I just believe that when it's all over, you can make a judgment. But those who make daily judgments based on one comment or one remark or one speech, that really isn't very objective.
UAW President Leonard Woodcock said that politics should not enter into the Ford strike. Will President Ford be able to avoid any federal action in the Ford strike with the general election?
Well, I would hope so. I think they're going back to negotiating on, Monday? So, I think they're still in a give-and-take position. I don't suggest that we get any government interference into collective bargaining.
Would a long strike hurt the election?
Think it cuts both ways.
Senator, how significant an issue is abortion?
Pardon?
The status of the effort to get Ronald Reagan out at campaign appearances
Well, I think the word effort again is a characterization. It's not any effort. He's going to be working for the Republican Party, the Republican ticket all across the country. I'm not certain when his first date is, but like a lot of candidates who run for a year and a half, he wanted to take a little vacation, so he went to Mexico. And then there were some saying, well, Reagan isn't going to help the ticket. Where's Reagan? Why hasn't he shown up? You know, people are entitled to take a little break without clearing it with the media.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Following is a Q&A at Syracuse on September the 16th by Rockefeller and Dole.
Vice President-to-be Senator Dole will entertain any questions that you may have.
We're just sitting here or standing here. A beautiful young lady over here.
Senator Dole.
There you are, Senator.
Oh, thanks a lot.
You picked the right man.
President Ford said that he would like to see a health care program for the nation that would be affordable to everyone. Now, your opponent, Senator Mondale, said that President Ford never proposed such a program, and in fact has opposed measures to set up such a program, such as this new
Well, I think Mr. the question is whether or not the president's ever proposed health insurance and the so-called Ribicoff. Well, there are other catastrophic plans. I'm a co-sponsor of one. The president has proposed such a plan. Congress hasn't acted on it. The president means what he said last night in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and what he said before. We've got to provide adequate health care. I don't care how much money you may have, you can be wiped out if you don't have some catastrophic protection, some catastrophic illness. And the same is true of the poor. We've got to provide more care, more benefits, better programs. We've seen, though, I might add, what some of the Democratic programs have resulted in, a great deal of fraud and abuse, and many of the benefits not going to the right place. Well, I'm picking up all I can. I learned how to handle uninvited guests, I guess, at the last stop. He does a fantastic job in that area. But in addition, we've had a chance last night and between every stop to visit with members of his staff and with the vice president himself about how he looks at the campaign. And that's been very helpful to me, believe me.
I want to tell you, I'm learning a lot myself, and I wish I had his sense of humor. Yes, sir. The question is, will the president have enough votes come election to elect him president because of the Republicans' minority party? The polls right now in New York State, as of last weekend, show a four-point differential between President Ford and his opponent, in favor of his opponent. The weekend after election, which is 2 weeks ago, showed a three-point differential. When you consider that at a convention, you expect a candidate who gets lots of attention to rise in the polls and then drop afterwards, a one-point drop is extraordinary. Now, some of you may remember who've been around here in the old days, I used to start 24-35% behind, and I thought nothing of it. Malcolm and I just start rolling, and we'd come just hit the line and just slip over and get elected. So that 4 points is nothing. That's just a challenge. He's an underdog now. He's in a fighting position. That's the position to be in. And as it starts to slip, that's when you're going to see this thing just roll across the line. President's going to carry New York, and he's going to carry the country. Senator. He's got a follow-up question if he makes it short. He's asking why we have Republican rallies which are staged. Well, to begin with, you don't have a rally that isn't staged because, unless you go on the streets of New York the way we campaign in New York City, and you have an orchestra there, and then the people gather to hear the orchestra, and then you get them off the stand, and you get on, and you got a rally. But that's a little different. But what I got to tell you is that these rallies, thanks to the fact that you're here in attendance and that some of your colleagues in the various media are here in attendance, then they're reported and then that gets the waves out. It's just like dropping a stone in a lake. You may not hit a fish, but you make a lot of ripples.
Senator Dole.
Yes, Senator Dole.
You reiterated again in your remarks the rally.
I didn't say that. No, no. I hadn't said that.
I think that's what you may think you want to hear, but what I think we both said, it's a very broad concept. It's a distillation of the views of Republicans all across this land. Ours was not written secretly. It was written in open meetings attended by the press. It was written for the most part by the delegates with input from Governor Reagan, input from President Ford, and other interested groups. That's the difference in the two platforms. Now, as I said, unity doesn't necessarily mean unanimity. That doesn't mean Vice President Rockefeller can't disagree with parts of it or that some other Republican can't disagree with parts of it. But it is the platform upon which the Ford-Dole ticket is running. I don't find that criticism. I was on the platform committee. I was there when that very thing was discussed. Now, I don't see any criticism, either direct or implied.
What about the Helsinki
business? I don't see any there. In fact, I think we underscored the emigration hope as far as Jewish emigration was concerned. I think there was one early plank discussed that wasn't presented. Now, I don't know which one you have reference to, but.
Listen, he said he had...
That was the amendment offered to the general platform on, Wednesday evening, a compromise position reached by, with the vice president, Senator Ruska. Was Senator Helms there?
No.
I mean, I wasn't part of the compromise, but I don't find that alien to anything that our party stands for. It was a compromise. President Ford has said that it's our platform. There's been no effort to run from it. But here Carter writes his own platform and says, and has the audacity to say that, well, this doesn't really reflect my view. And it's his platform.
I'd like to say just a comment on that because I was in the meeting where that was discussed between 1 and 2 in the morning. the position taken by the president and by the secretary and by Roman Oreska, who spoke from the platform, from the podium at 2 o'clock in the morning, was that the president perceived no objection because the Republican administrations for the past 8 years have been guided by the principles enunciated, the moral principles in this platform, and on the basis of this, they have achieved peace for the world or for America. Now, that's exactly what was said. That's exactly the position. There were only moral principles. There was no criticism. And those principles have been the ones that have guided the administrations, plural, for the last 8 years. Yes, sir.
Both you and the senator comment separately, please, on how significant an issue you feel abortion is in this campaign.
I think that this, personally, if you want my opinion, this is not a presidential issue.
I said virtually the same thing. I've never gone out to try to make it an issue. Yes?
Senator, you talk about fuzziness on the Carter side. The Carter side talks about trust. Isn't the campaign evolving into those two issues and all other issues getting blurred in the process?
Oh, I don't. They say we talk about fuzziness and he talks about trust as a whole campaign being blurred in the process.
Other issues?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we have a record of experience. We have a president with a record. We have an administration with a record. We're running against a man with virtually no experience on the federal level. President Ford is experienced in foreign affairs. He's got, 29 or 28 years in domestic affairs. He's been where the action was. That's one of the major and significant differences, experience. The other is trust. You don't have to say, trust me to President Ford. You know you can trust President Ford. You're not buying a pig and a poke. You're not buying anything else for that matter. He hasn't promised anything. And on the other hand, and I don't want to make a speech, somebody say we were given a circuitous answer. But the point is, you look at their platform, you look at the programs, and they add up to $100 billion or more. And you don't find that in the Republican platform. But you do find concern about spending, concern about the American people. A way to halt inflation. I think there's a vast difference.
Yes, ma'am.
He voted to shut off the debate.
He voted to shut off the debate, not against the money. Well, my personal feeling is they're going to do very well, and I'll tell you. When the president said what he said about New York City, everybody was concerned. But what it really was sort of what you'd call a shock treatment. It was telling it like it is and saying, look, there's an end, and you got to face your problems or you're going to go bankrupt. And this was not well received, but it was a very tough, honest statement of the facts. And the results have been that the city and the state have taken the steps that were necessary. The president did ask the Congress to make available funds to the city if they met these criteria, which they did, and he also got the bankruptcy laws rewritten, because had the city gone bankrupt because they didn't take the steps, the bankruptcy laws as they existed in the Congress were such that it would have been impossible and there would have been absolute chaos.
No.
Only closure of debate.
He'll handle that. That's not the only issue in New York. I think one vote, and I've discussed this with you in New York City, and I understand got a very nice headline, but I voted for urban renewal and mass transit and food stamps, a great many programs that affect people. And, that's our record is there. We're not promising anything. It's there. I could go into some of Mondale's votes in the City Bankruptcy Act and things of that kind, but I voted to shut off debate. They had the 51 votes for the bill. They had to stop the debate. Now, it's hard to make that the key vote. We've got a good record. We're running on the record. We're going to carry New York State.
One more question, please.
Well, we'd like to have it go away. That's not a strategy. That's a firm desire and wish on the part of the president. And we've, you know, it's coming. It's coming down. Inflation's been cut in half. As the Vice President said just a few moments ago, we've got 88 million people in the workforce. We put, what, 3.5 million back to work in the past 18 months. We're still concerned about that 7.9, but we think we're doing it in the proper way. We can't do it with the Humphrey-Hawkins bill that would cost $40 to $60 billion.
But I want to add that the President, in his speech last night, or the night before, whichever it was, said that he was giving very serious consideration to proposing a job scholarship program of financial aid to young people between the age of 16 and 19. That's where the high unemployment is. That's 40% for blacks and minority groups and 23% for the rest of the youth. Now, that's an area which he's very concerned about, and he's working on a program, and he mentioned in his speech. And I think that's going to be a very important part of this, because that's where the whole desire of young people is, to become part of the society, and they can't get in and get the jobs. And this is going to help them tremendously.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure.